About 4 years ago, I was at a youth conference with about 5,000 teenagers. It was an outdoor youth conference, and I was ministering to the youth. And as I was ministering to the youth, all of a sudden, I just got the worst migraine I've ever experienced in my life. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult to pay attention to the person in front of me because all I can do is just focus on this intense pain I was feeling. And so I took a break from ministering, and there was a medical tent set up at this youth conference, and there were a number of people there at the time, and so I didn't feel like waiting in line to go see one of the medics. And so I saw one of my buddies, and I said, "Look, man, do you have anything that can help me with my headache? I'll take an Advil, I'll take a Tylenol, I'll take an Aleve. Do you have anything?" I said, "This thing is just killing me right now." And he was just in a car accident recently, and so he said, "Well, I don't have any of those," but he said, "My doctor gave me these things called Loratabs. Do you want one of those?" And I had no idea what a Loratab was, and I said, "Yeah, give me two of them." So I take two Loratabs, and the headache certainly went away. But now, when I was with these kids in the confessional, I couldn't pay attention to one of them. I was just like woozy. Now, why am I feeling so good right now? What's happening to me? And so I took another break from ministering because now I couldn't even minister because I was feeling so crazy inside. And turns out, later in the day, I found out I actually had the flu. And so that certainly did nothing to help the flu. But isn't that something? Sometimes whenever we experience intense physical pain or emotional pain or psychological pain and suffering, sometimes as opposed to going the way of the cross, which might involve waiting in line, which might involve being patient as we can be healed, we want the quick fix approach. I just want to be healed right now, and so I'll do whatever I can to alleviate the pain, to numb the pain real quick, real easy, as opposed to doing the way of Jesus, which is always the way of the cross. As we enter into these holiday seasons, in my limited experience of being a priest, been ordained for 4 years now, one of the most common things I've encountered in these holiday seasons amongst the people I serve is, even though this is supposed to be one of the most joyful, most wonderful times of the year, for many of us, it ends up being one of the most painful times of the year, filled with anxiety and filled with depression and just darkness, because we become so stressed with all the stuff that comes with the holidays. And Jesus Christ says in today's gospel, he says that we are called to be watchful and to be alert. We got to be aware of the ways in which we're going to be attacked spiritually and mentally and emotionally and physically during this upcoming season. What I found is that a lot of people struggle during this holiday season, during the Advent season, during Christmas, because we're worried about finances. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to buy these people gifts. You know, at my job, everyone's having this great idea this year to buy each other's gifts, but I don't have enough money to buy my kids gifts right now, and they want me to buy them gifts, or I don't know if my gift will be as good as their gift, and we become stressed out about these financial concerns. Or maybe it's relationships. Maybe we just went through a breakup, a separation, a divorce, and this might be the first time we're going to enter into the holiday season without the person that we've always experienced Advent and Christmas with. And it's just causing a lot of emotions to stir up in our hearts. Or maybe we lost a loved one. Maybe someone passed away, a sister, a brother, a parent, a child. And this is the first time we're going to experience the Christmas season without that person. And we are just filled with so much pain and suffering at the thought of celebrating Christmas without this person we've always celebrated Christmas with. Or maybe we're just really interiorly hurt right now because every year for Advent and every year for Christmas, we give so much of ourselves. We give and we give and we give, and other people take and take and take. And maybe this year we were hoping maybe they're going to go out of themselves for me, the way I've gone out of myself for them. And then we realize as the holiday seasons approach and then as Christmas comes, they're not going to do it again. And it just hurts so much that I'm always the one giving and they're never giving in a way that I want them to give. And so when we go through this pain, emotional, psychological, mental, right, pain, we can either enter into it deeper with Christ in prayer and even with counseling, which is available to us, or we can try to numb the pain with a quick fix approach by saying, "The way I'm going to deal with this during Christmas is I'm just going to drink more. Because the more I drink, the more I'm not going to have to deal with the reality that I'm really hurting inside. Or maybe I'm going to overeat. I'm going to become very gluttonous with my food because it's going to give me a temporary satisfaction. I can't control all those other things, but I can control this food that's going to come into my body. Or maybe it's an unhealthy relationship that we know is not good for us, but you know what? It makes me feel good temporarily, so I'm just going to grasp at this unhealthy relationship because I see everyone else in my family having somebody, and even though this person is not good for me, and I know this person doesn't want me to be a saint, I know this person doesn't care about my walk with Jesus, I'm going to grasp at this relationship to make me feel good, to just numb the pain. Or maybe I'm just going to isolate myself from community. I'm just going to ignore people and turn off my phone and avoid social media and just be away from everybody right now because I don't want to deal with this. So I'm just going to cut everybody off for the holiday season. And we do this, and it typically gives us a temporary satisfaction, makes us feel good for a very quick second. And then after that quick second goes away, we feel bad. And we feel worse, and other people feel bad, and they feel worse because it affects everyone around us. So what can we do then to be watchful? What can we do to be alert during this holiday season so that we can remind ourselves and others that we are called to be saints, that we were created for something more in this life? What can we do to peacefully and joyfully continue our walk toward Jesus in eternity? Since I've been here, I've been speaking about the five W's, all right? When, where, what, who, and why. With regards to prayer, with regards to our calendar. But I think we could also apply the five W's to an Advent practice. See, typically in the Catholic Church, we know that Lent is a time where we have to up our game a little bit, right? We up our game with regards to prayer, with regards to fasting, thank you, Ms. Iva, all right, and with regards to almsgiving, thank you, Rainey, right? So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Well, Advent is also typically and traditionally supposed to be a season where we pray a little bit more, and we're also fasting a little bit more to prepare ourselves to receive the coming of Jesus Christ into our hearts in a new way that will help us in our walk towards being in union with Him in the kingdom of heaven. So what can we do to open ourselves up more to Jesus in the midst of all this stuff that's going to happen either in our lives or in our families' lives or in our neighbors' lives in this holiday season that can distract us from our current walk toward eternity? Well, I would suggest that we add extra prayer. Maybe we fast from something at night. We fast from a TV show at night, and we use that time to pray the examine prayer. But we change the examine prayer. Typically, the examine prayer is where we go through our day at the end of our night with God, and we say, God, where were you today? Where was I cooperating with your grace today? Where was I being a living image of Jesus in the world today, being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus? And God, thank you for that. And you know what, God? Where was I not being Jesus in the world today? Where was I not encountering your grace through other people today? Right, Lord, I'm sorry for not being aware of how I wasn't in communion with you, right? So we take the examine prayer and we apply it to the five W's: when, where, what, who, and why. Particularly with those things that might trigger us. Those things that might trigger us to grasp at temporary, passing, quick fix consolations. Okay? So when is the first W. When is it during my day that I typically begin to struggle? When is it during my day that I struggle and I get triggered and I want to grasp at drinking more or at eating food more than I need to? Or when am I tempted to grasp at that unhealthy relationship? Or when am I tempted to isolate myself from community? When in the day? Is it in the morning when I first wake up? Is that when it hits me the heaviest? Is it the afternoon? Is it the evening? Or is it at night when I just begin to grasp at these unhealthy tendencies? When is it? And then after I think about when is it, I focus on and where. Where does it typically happen? It happens for all of us in different places. Sometimes it's going to a grocery store. Sometimes it's going to the mall. Sometimes it's being in our home. Sometimes it's being at our neighbor's home, our family member's house. Sometimes it's at school or work. But where is it where I'm triggered to want to go for this instant quick fix? Where? And once I discern when, the time of day, and where the location is that I get triggered at, then I'm going to go to what? Well, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do to avoid the near occasion of grasping at temporary quick fix solutions to my problems? What am I going to do? Well, what I'm going to do, what I would suggest we do during Advent, is turn to the Rosary. This parish is named after Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. Every time our Blessed Mother appears in apparitions to draw us closer to her Son, Jesus Christ, what is the one prayer she always says she wants us to pray to come closer to Jesus Christ? What is it? The Rosary. She's never said any other prayer. She always says, pray the Rosary. And not only does she tell us to pray the Rosary, but when she appeared to Bernadette at Lourdes, she herself was praying the Rosary. So she's showing us in heaven, the prayer of heaven is the Rosary. What's the Rosary again? The Rosary, as St. John Paul the Great said, is a Christocentric prayer, which means it is a Christ, Jesus Christ-centered prayer. It's not a Marian prayer. It's a Jesus-centered prayer where we focus on the birth and the ministry and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension into heaven of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as he's revealed it to us in the Gospels. We focus on Jesus as he has revealed himself. And the more we're focusing on Jesus, the more we're opening ourselves up to his graces so that we can begin to think with the mind of Christ and speak with the voice of Christ and act with the body of Christ. There's no way that we can spend time with Jesus Christ and he cannot do for us what is best for us, whether we know it or not. When we're going through things, we bring it to the light, we give it to Jesus, and then we focus on Jesus, and then he focuses on us in ways that we can't even imagine. And he gives us grace in ways that we can't even understand that will heal us over time of spending with him intentionally and consistently through the Rosary. So what do we do is we say, when do I normally get triggered and where? And that's when and where I'm going to pray the Rosary, right? So if I'm at work, and at work is where I get triggered, I'm just going to put my hand in my pocket where I have my little rosary beads at, and I'm going to start praying the Rosary while I'm working, right? If it's at someone's house at Christmas and I'm tempted to go for that extra drink to make myself feel good, to numb the pain, instead of going for that extra drink, I'm going to go for that Rosary and I'm going to start meditating on Jesus. Instead of going for that extra plate to make me feel good, I'm going to go for the Rosary. Instead of going for my cell phone to text that person that I know I should not text because I know they're not healthy for me, I'm going to go to the Rosary. Instead of going interiorly and navel-gazing on myself and isolating myself from the community, I'm going to pull up my Rosary and focus on my communion with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to do when and where I'm triggered. The next W is who. Who am I going to invite to accompany me? Pope Francis keeps on using this language of accompanying our brothers and sisters in our walk toward eternity. Who am I going to invite to accompany me in my struggle? Who am I going to reveal? Like, look, I trust you. I'm struggling right now. I'm really struggling. And the way I'm tempted when I struggle is I like to drink more. So can you hold me accountable when we go to this person's house to not go for that extra drink that's beyond my limitations? Can you hold me accountable to not going for that extra plate? Can you hold me accountable to not going to that inappropriate relationship? Can you hold me accountable to not isolating myself by making sure I'm a part of the community in this holiday season, right? Unless people are invited to, they're not going to know to help us. So we have to invite people to accompany us. Can you hold me accountable to going and scheduling that appointment with my counselor right now? I need to see my counselor during the season because otherwise I'm going to go crazy. Can you hold me accountable to prayer? Hold me accountable. And finally, the fifth W is why. Why am I doing this? Certainly on the surface level, it's because we all want to be happy. And that's fine, right? We're created for an eternal happiness. But even beyond us, this life isn't about us. My life isn't about me. Your life isn't about you. Our life is about each other. We do what we do because if we are grasping at these temporary satisfactions that end up hurting us and not making us really happy, at the end of the day, people will notice it. And people are going to say, man, don't you go to Holy Rosary every single Sunday? Like, don't you go to Holy Rosary and you participate in Bible studies and you participate in these ministries and you're over here like grasping at all these things? You don't look like a Christian to me. You're not inspiring to me. And the way you act after you give into these temporary satisfactions, it's not really joyful. And that doesn't draw me to want to be a Catholic. That does not draw me to want to be an intentional disciple of Christ. So I think I'm going to try something else because of your witness. Why we do what we do is because it's not just about us. It's about us helping other people get to Jesus as well. We're called to be bridges, and there's no way we're going to be an attractive bridge if we're sitting there grasping at things that don't make us happy, but by the end of the day, make us worse, right? Make us worse. We're called to draw people to our Lord. So, during this holiday season of Advent and of Christmas, Let us be intentional with being watchful and being alert, not only with our triggers, but with the triggers of our family and friends, of those in our community around us, so we can help each other and walk with each other and accompany each other in our Lord to our walk to the person Jesus Christ in this life. And by being in union and in communion with Him in this life, we and our entire community can open ourselves to the grace of perseverance, of being united with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.